Shamalam Nirai Puman Bunkte Kutumba Poshasya Shrtavitta Nivaturaha. Translation: thus, by the arrangement of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the maintainer of kinsmen is put into a hellish condition to suffer for sinful activities like a man who has lost his wealth. Wherefore, the example set herein is that the sinful person suffers just like a man who has lost his wealth. The human form of body is achieved by the conditioned soul after many, many births, and is a very valuable asset. Instead of utilizing this life to get liberation, if one uses it simply for the purpose of maintaining a so-called family, and therefore performs foolish and unauthorized action, he is compared to a man who has lost his wealth, and who upon losing it laments. When wealth is lost, there is no use lamenting, but as long as there is wealth, one has to utilize it properly and thereby gain eternal profit. It may be argued that when a man leaves his money earned by sinful activities, he also leaves his sinful activities here with his money. But it is especially mentioned herein that by superior arrangement, although the man leaves behind him his sinfully earned money, he carries the effect of it. When a man steals some money, if he is caught and agrees to return it, he is not freed from the criminal punishment. By the law of the state, even though he returns the money, he has to undergo the punishment. Similarly, the money earned by a criminal process may be left by a man when dying, but by superior arrangement he carries with him the effect, and therefore he has to suffer hellish life. Text 33, therefore, a person who is very eager to maintain his family and kinsmen simply by black methods certainly goes to the darkest region of hell, which is known as Anda Tamasra. Wherefore, three words in this verse are very significant. Kevalena means only by black methods, Adharmena means unrighteous, and Kutumba Bharana means family maintenance. Maintaining one's family is certainly the duty of a householder, but one should be eager to earn his living by the prescribed method as stated in the scriptures. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is described that the Lord has divided the social system into four classifications of castes or varnas according to quality and work. Apart from Bhagavad Gita, in every society a man is known according to his quality and work. For example, when a man is constructing wooden furniture, he is called a carpenter, and a man who works with an anvil and iron is called a blacksmith. Similarly, a man who is engaged in medical or engineering fields have a particular duty and designation. All these human activities have been divided by the Supreme Lord into four varnas, namely Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Sudra. In Bhagavad Gita and other Vedic literature, the specific duties of Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Sudra are mentioned. One should work honestly according to his qualification. He should not earn his livelihood unfairly by means for which he is not qualified. If a Brahmana who works as a priest so that he may enlighten his followers of spiritual way of life is not qualified as a priest, then he is cheating the public. One should not earn by such unfair means. The same is applicable to a Kshatriya or to a Vaishya. It is especially mentioned that the means of livelihood of those who are trying to advance in Krishna consciousness must be very fair and uncomplicated. Here it is mentioned that he who earns his livelihood by unfair means is sent to the darkest hellish region. Otherwise, if one maintains his family by prescribed methods and honest means, there is no objection to being a family man. Text 34, having gone through all the miserable hellish conditions and having passed in a regular order through the lowest forms of animal life prior to human birth, and having thus been purged of his sins, one is reborn again as a human being on this earth. Wherefore, just as a prisoner who has undergone troublesome prison life is set free again, the person who is always engaged in impious and mischievous activities is put into hellish conditions, and when he has undergone different hellish lives, namely those of lower animals like cats, dogs, and hogs, by the gradual process of evolution, he again comes back as a human being. In Bhagavad Gita, it is stated that even though a person engaged in the practice of the yoga system may not finish perfectly and may fall down for some reason or other, his next life as a human being is guaranteed. It is stated that such a person who has fallen from the path of yoga practice is given a chance in his next life to take birth in a very rich family or in a very pious family. It is interpreted that rich family refers to a big mercantile family, because generally people who engage in trades and mercantile business are very rich. One who is engaged in the process of self-realization or connected with that supreme absolute truth but fell short is allowed to take birth in such a rich family, or is allowed to take birth in the family of pious brahmanas. Either way, he is guaranteed to appear in human society in his next life. It can be concluded that if someone is not willing to enter into hellish life as in tamas or under tamasra, then he must take to the process of Krishna consciousness, which is the first class of the yoga system, because even if one is unable to attain complete Krishna consciousness in this life, he is guaranteed at least to take his next birth in a human family. He cannot be sent into a hellish condition. Krishna consciousness is the purest life, and it protects all human beings from gliding down to hell to take birth in a family of dogs or hogs. Thus, in the Bhaktivedanta Purports of the third canto, 30th chapter, Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Description of Lord Kapila of Adverse Fruitive Activities. Thus, by the arrangement of the Supreme Personality of God, the maintainer of kinsmen is put into a hellish condition to suffer for his sinful activities like a man who has lost his wealth. Therefore, a person who is very eager to maintain his family and kinsmen simply by black methods certainly goes to the darkest region of hell known as Amrita-Misra. Having gone through all the miserable hellish conditions and having passed in a regular order through the lowest forms of animal life prior to human birth, and having thus been purged of his sins, one is reborn again as a human being on this earth. So this concludes the description of the hellish existence. Here are the details of the hellish planets is not given. That is given in the fifth canto. But the general description of sinful activities leading to hellish punishments and then lower birth as animals has been described. It is arranged by the Supreme Lord, and therefore the word Daivena Asaditam is used, which means this is obtained by Daiva, by the Supreme Lord's arrangement. So all of these hellish forms of punishment and the next body are actually the arrangement of the Supreme Lord. But though it is the arrangement of the Supreme Lord, the Lord is not responsible. So in other words, we cannot blame the Lord as being cruel for having given such conditions to the living entities. So the arrangement of the Supreme Lord is not direct. He makes the laws by which these destinations are attained. But the actual destination is determined by the human beings. And so because of the sinful activities of the human beings, they get this situation of hellish punishment. Yeah? In other words, there is a law which is made by the Supreme Lord. And if one breaks the law, then one gets the punishment. One doesn't break the law, one doesn't get punishment. So if we are punished, that means we have broken the law. So that is the responsibility of the human being. If he has done some sinful activity, then he must get the punishment for that. So this is just, it's a just system, just as in all countries of the world, we have similar types of laws, not in some countries, but in all countries. If people steal, then they get some punishment. And if stealing is not punished in some countries, then everybody would chaotically take everything from everybody else. And so they have rules for living. And all countries will punish the person who is caught stealing. So this is something very, not just hellish punishment, it is something we see even in this world itself. So what is the difference in this hellish punishment? Why they get more punishment? So if the state punishes, fine. Then we don't have to get the punishment in hell. But if we don't get the punishment on Earth planet in the state, then we are subject to the punishment in hellish conditions. Now, unfortunately, there are many acts which are not considered sinful by the state. But, according to the law of the Supreme Lord, they are sinful. So in that case, everybody thinks they're obeying the law of the country, but ultimately they are committing sinful activity, so they must get those punishments in hellish existence. So an example is the killing of animals. So in many societies there's no laws. You can kill the animals and eat them or do whatever you want with the animals. There's no crime attached to that. If we kill human beings, yes, there is some sin attached to that, and one gets punished, but not with the animals. But according to the law of karma, yes, even if the state says you can kill the animals, if you kill it, you will get the law of karma acting on you, and you will get the hellish punishment. So therefore, people are not free from punishment of hell simply because they obey the laws of the state. Laws of the state are not perfect. And, of course, even if the laws of the state are there, people find many ways of deceiving the state so that the state never detects they are breaking the laws. So again, people get hellish punishment for those infringements for which they are not punished. So the law of karma acts as a backup system for the laws of the state. If the state is negligent, then the law of karma ensures that people will get the punishment. And where the law of the state is insufficient, does not cover all the laws, then the law of karma takes care of that also. And therefore the people get these sinful reactions on themselves. So normally in life, people do some sinful activities but for which they have to suffer. They also do punyas. So everyone does some punyas. So by doing the mixture of pap and punyas, we get mixed results. And by doing more punyas, the tendency is to eradicate the sinful reactions. So therefore, the Varnashram system encourages to do more and more punyas. And in this way, we are saved from hellish existence. Similarly, the Shraddha rites are there to save a person from hellish existence. So that is another type of punya for a person. So in this way, there are some arrangements for avoiding sinful life. However, those types of arrangements are rather temporary. By doing these different punyas, we can cancel some of the effects and get some good effects. At the same time, we still commit some sinful activities. So, therefore, this is not considered to be a perfect system. So, as Prabhupada has mentioned here at the end of the chapter, if we perform bhakti yoga, this guarantees that we can wipe out that hellish existence. We cannot wipe out karma completely, immediately, but we can at least wipe out the hellish conditions. So this is what Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita, that even a little performance of bhakti saves one from the greatest dangers, which is falling into lower species and getting hellish punishments. And the possibility is also there by bhakti that one can destroy all karmas, and therefore is free from the material world. It may not act immediately, but nevertheless, it can do that as well. And in some cases, it acts immediately, so that all karmas are destroyed. So depending on the situation, bhakti may be very, very powerful also, and immediately destroy all karmas. So that was the case of Ajamil, when he was about to be punished by the Yamadutas. Then the Vishnuduta says, "You cannot do that." And the Yamadutas were surprised. Look at all the sinful activities he did. But the Vishnuduta said, he pronounced the name of Narayana, and he named his son Narayana. And that is enough to cancel out all of his sinful reactions. So in other words, his karmas were destroyed by simply saying the name of Narayana as his son. That wasn't even devotional service or bhakti. It was accidental. But he got his karmas were destroyed. So even if it is not bhakti, but chanting of the Lord's name or thinking of the Lord or whatever, still there is a very powerful effect of bhakti. What to speak of those who intentionally practice bhakti. So the effective way of avoiding hellish existence and of destroying karma is the process of bhakti. Other processes like jnana and yoga are effective also to some degree, but they require long time. They are more effort in them. So bhakti is the easiest and is a complete system. In karma and jnana and yoga, whatever effects they give, is given by bhakti. So along with karma yoga, you have to do a little bhakti, and along with jnana yoga, you have to do a little bhakti, and along with astanga yoga, one has to do a little bhakti. So they're not complete in themselves. They require the assistance of bhakti to get their results. And if we do bhakti, we don't require anything else. Simply do devotional service, and we get the result. That is, not only we get destruction of karmas and avoiding hell, but ultimately we get a position in the spiritual world. So therefore, the best solution to the problems of the material world and hellish existence is simply to perform bhakti, and then we're saved.
You know, the hellish punishment, or they may take lower birds like animals. So those who are more sinful, they get a hellish punishment, or those who are less sinful, Yeah, but could get some other punishment like taking birds as animals, is it?
Well, as is mentioned here, one gets the hellish punishment, and this prepares one for an animal existence. So then we get the animal existence. That of course, is if we're very, very sinful. If one is not sinful, of course, one will not take an animal existence. One gets some punishment, and then be finished. But if one is very sinful, then one gets that punishment, and then one becomes animal as well. So we get two punishments. The hellish punishment and then the animal existence.
You're saying the law of Brahma, law of God. I mean, this is he gave a Manu law, Krishna. The Manu law.
Manu.
That is given by God, that law.
Yeah. So the laws of Manu, this is Manu Smriti, these are the laws of Dharma. So this establishes Varnashram and Karma Yoga, etc., those laws. So that is the arrangement for the people in general to follow Varnashram Dharma and gradually become purified and get up to Sattva Guna. So this is basically Karma Yoga. So we can say that Manu institutes Karma Yoga for the people and populace at large. And for those that are more fortunate, they take to the process of bhakti. And then they can surpass karma yoga even by that process of bhakti.